Open it up to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 2. While you're turning there, let me remind you, if you would, to pray also. Heidi texted me and asked that we pray for her nephew. Heather's son, Dean, is having tubes put in his ears on Friday. So if you'd pray that that would go well and trouble-free, that would be a blessing. I know they'd appreciate that. So do remember them, all right? Colossians chapter 2 tonight, if you have your Bible, and we'll spend a little bit of time here in the Word of God. We're going to begin reading there in verse 16. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. The Bible says here, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and hands have nourishment ministered and knit together, increasing with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom, and will worship, and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." We're going to preach to you tonight just a little bit. Preach, teach, one of the two, or maybe a combination of such, all right? Just a little bit about keeping your worship right. Keeping your worship right. Man, the day in which we live, there's so many misconceptions, misunderstandings, and even misleading ideas when it comes to the subject of worship. One of the worst is the idea that you need or even should have a team called a worship team. You know, I've thought about it, and I thought of all the years that I lived and went to church, and no church anywhere had anything remotely close to such a thing. And I thought, why is it now it seems like that seems to be a necessity? Now, we don't have a worship team here, all right? Brother Marion is not the worship leader. He's the song leader, all right? By the way, now this is not a comment about his singing, all right? But a song leader doesn't have to be a good singer. The song leader doesn't have to be a good singer, all right? We get that idea. Look, the song leader, first of all, he's not a performer, okay? He's here to lead the singing, all right? And a good song leader, what he's supposed to be good at is getting you to sing, all right? Getting you to sing. Now, some of you, it's hard to do because you resist it and you fight it with everything that's within you. When you shouldn't do it, you ought to realize we're in the house of God. We're here to lift up the Lord, and one of the greatest things to do that with is by singing. But he's not the worship leader. By the way, I'm not a worship leader, okay? I'm a pastor. I'm a Bible preacher. That is what I am. That is what I do. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I do believe in a worship leader. But if we're going to do it right, if we're going to do it biblical, that worship leader is going to be the Holy Spirit of God. And he's the only one that can lead us to worship. No human can do that. Now, human can pump the crowd, but he can't cause us to worship, all right? At all, period, okay? Now, the Bible said we're to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, all right? And so the Holy Spirit, the Bible's very plain about it, was given to guide us into all things. And one thing he guides us to do is worship. And it is under his leading. And if he's involved, then we'll have some true worship. Now, in our text verses that we've read here, I believe God uses the Apostle Paul to warn us to make sure we don't let anything mess with that worship. And you say, well, don't see that. Well, let me show you, try to, all right? Look again at verse 16 and 17. Just keep your Bible open. Let's look at what the Bible says. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Hey, what Paul begins to talk about here is ritual. Ritual. No man judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of holy day or the new moon or our Sabbath days. Now, those Sabbath days the Bible's talking about there is not the seventh day of the week, but it's special Sabbaths that the Old Testament Jews observed, okay? It was special times and special days. So that's what he's talking about here. But our problem in our day is we get people thinking that worship's all about ritual. And if we go through a ritual, then we've worshiped. You know, I've been in a church where it's up and down. You get up, and then you sit down. And then they'd kneel. And then they'd get up, and they'd sit down. And they'd get back up, they'd sit down, and they'd kneel. And it was just a ritual. It was a ritual they were going through, all right? Sometimes it's repeated prayers. We don't get together and repeat prayers, all right? We don't do that. We don't repeat the Lord's Prayer. We don't repeat anybody else's prayer, all right? We don't do it. We don't get together in unison and chant, all right? We don't do that, all right? That's not what we do. Why? Because worship is not about ritual. It is not about ritual. All that kind of stuff that a lot of people today think, well, that's worship. No, that's not worship. That's ritual. And ritual can be just as empty and dead as possible, all right? And just because everybody's in on it and getting going, I doesn't mean worship. That's simply not so, all right? In the Old Testament law, all right, under that Old Testament Mosaic law, it had some ritual which involved some different things like diet, and certain days were observed, all of that. And as I already mentioned, the Sabbath days weren't the seventh day of the week, but they were special Jewish feasts and religious observances. But the Apostle Paul comes back and he's talking to a New Testament church here at Colossae, and he says, that's not what people need to judge you on. That's not what you need to be judged upon, is how close you stay to keeping the ritual that's associated oftentimes with worship, all right? So I want you to see, first of all, worship is not ritual. The next thing I want you to see, look in verse 18, all right? Verse 18, let no man beguile you, notice, of your reward. In a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Hey, worship is not, you're not allowed to be ripped away from you. You see, that's the problem that we're getting at here. The problem existed then that exists now. You said, what's that problem? Men. Men come along, not God. Not God. Men come along and they beguile you. That's the word that Paul uses. They beguile you into worshiping something or someone other than Christ. All right, now they can call it whatever they want to. They may use the word veneration. We don't worship, we venerate. You worship. All right, it's just a fancy word for your worshiping, all right? Whether that be idols or images or something else, doesn't make any difference. There we go, all right? We're pulling, don't let somebody distract your worship and get it away, all right? Now notice that teaching doesn't come from the Bible. Notice it says, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. I never cease to be amazed at what men come up with and think is a good substitute for what God said. They come up with these ideas, man, I've got a better idea. I've got a new way of getting at it, all right? Notice it talks about humility in there, all right? Voluntary humility. We get people today that come along and say, we're so humble that we don't think we can come to God, so we're going to go through others. Because we're so humble, we know we're so sorry. We know we don't deserve to be able to come to God. So we go to somebody else and ask that somebody else to go to God for us. Doesn't that sound so wonderful? Doesn't that sound so humble? But it's so unbiblical. Yep, I'll agree with you. You and I have no right to come to God. We have no right. We have, in and of ourselves, we have no standing to come. But we know we can come because Hebrews says, let us come boldly under the throne of grace. All right? We can come directly to God. Why? Because when Jesus Christ died, the veil in the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, signifying, hey, the entrance into the Holy of Holies was now open. Before you got in there, and God would have killed you. But because of what his son has done, because of what his son did for us on the cross, we've got the right to come. Nobody, you don't have to go around saying, well, you know, I realize I'm such a worm that I don't deserve to be able to come to God. So let's go to the angels. Let's talk to the angels, and the angels maybe can intercede on our behalf with God. Now, of course, the biggest false teaching out there today is let's go and pray to Mary. Pray to Mary. Wait a minute. Because, hey, that, you know, that's Jesus' mama, and every good son's going to listen to his mama. So talk to his mom. The only thing is there's no, hey, you can pray all you want to, but she's not going to hear you. She's not going to hear you. You can pray to the saints. They're not going to hear you. They're not going to hear you. I can go out to the cemetery. I can pray to my dad. Dad's not going to hear me. One reason, he ain't there, okay? He's not there. And so we're not going to do that, all right? What do? Well, we come to God. We come to God. You say, what's going on? We live in a day where people are messing worship up. They've got things so upside down and backwards. And notice that crowd, I really like the way God puts it here for us. It says, and they're intruding into those things, okay, which he hath not seen. He said, you're putting your nose in somewhere where you've got no right. You're intruding because you're playing on God's territory. God's made it plain in his word how we're to worship and who we are to worship. He's made it plain how to come. How to come. Now, I want to put this in right here. It's okay to come boldly, but I'd sure be careful about coming arrogantly. Amen. I think we ought to come with humility. We can come boldly, but I think sure to be humble when we come. Realizing God doesn't know us a thing in this world. Nothing whatsoever. But we ought to come to him, all right? Anybody that teaches anything otherwise doesn't know what he's talking about. And by the way, it doesn't matter who that person or persons might be. Well, you just think you know everything. No, I just believe the Bible. I take the Bible for what it says. Therefore, I'm not going to let some nutcase try to tell me I've got a better idea. No, you're intruding on something where you've not seen. You don't know what you're talking about. You just don't know what's going on. And notice the danger. There's a danger. Did you notice what it said there in verse 18? Let no man beguile you of your reward. Your reward. You can lose a reward if somebody convinces you the way to worship is not to worship the Son, but to worship the angels. Not to worship God. Hey, you ever notice where some people put the emphasis? Some people put the emphasis, and boy, they ever put the emphasis in the wrong place. Charismatic crowd puts the emphasis on the Holy Spirit, but the Bible said Jesus Christ is to have the preeminence. He's to have the preeminence. The Mormon folks put too much emphasis on Joseph Smith. Hey, people got the emphasis in the wrong place, all right? There's a danger cause you to lose your reward because you get pulled aside, you get beguiled, you get tricked, you get fooled, you get deceived into worshiping someone we're not to worship, okay? Someone we're not to worship. Hey, worship is not ritual, okay? Worship is not ritual. worship, we need to be careful that our worship doesn't get ripped away from us. But what is worship? Look at verse 19. It says these fellows here beguile you vainly, puffed up by his fleshly mind. And then it says, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment ministered, and knit together, increasing with the increase of God. A worship, real worship, is holding the head, all right? The head. Notice capital H. Capital H. There's nothing in that King James Bible by accident. Okay? Nothing. Our head is not the Pope. It's not the pastor. It's not the president. It's not any other pretender. Our head is the Lord Jesus Christ. So why do you think that? Well, hold your place right here, but just go back to the book of Ephesians, all right? Philippians, you're going to run into first, but go to Ephesians. Ephesians, if you will, I want you to take there and turn to chapter 4 and just look at two verses, all right? You see, we believe very, very plainly that the Bible interprets itself. I don't go for guys that say, well, you can make the Bible believe, say anything you want to. No, not if you let the Bible interpret itself. All right, Ephesians 4, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The Bible said, hey, we know who the head is. The head is Christ. The head is Christ. If you're going to worship, you're going to lift up the head, okay? We're going to lift up the head. We're not going to talk about some human being, all right? We're not going to do that. I believe we live in a time where in many cases too much man worship goes on. And it's easy to get involved in man worship. We respect individuals. We look up to them. We admire what they've done. But make sure you don't get them so high you begin to worship them, all right? Men are just men, okay? The one we need to worship is our Savior, our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. The very idea of putting anyone else in that place that he alone deserves. How in the world could you do that? The Lord Jesus in chapter 4 of the book of John, verse 22, said, ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And that head is that Jew, Jesus Christ, all right? And we lift him up. And if we worship, that's who we worship. If we're singing a song and it talks about him, it's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ, all right? That's who we worship. That's who we lift up. That's who we pray to. That's who we honor. That's who we call upon, all right? It's Jesus Christ. It's not somebody else. It's no man. It's not Confucius. It's not Buddha. And none of them compare. None of them are even can be even spoken in the same breath as he is. None of them. I got a letter at home, and I opened it today. It came to the church as a bundle, and it's got this letter, and I began to read this thing. I thought I knew who it was from. I've decided now I don't, but it begins to talk about all the different names there are for God and all that. Wait a minute. Not in the way we think of him. Yeah, we talk about him being the Alpha and the Omega. Yeah, we do. We talk about him being the Great Shepherd and the Chief Shepherd. We talk about those names, yeah. But they're not talking about that. They're talking about that all these names for God, everybody's worshiping the same God, just under a different name. That is a falsehood from the get-go. That's a lie out of hell, okay? And we need to be careful. Our head, when we talk about there, when Paul said not holding the head, there wasn't any doubt about who he's talking about. He was talking about Jesus Christ. Now, Worship, okay? It's holding the head up. It's lifting him up. But worship is not to be found in keeping worldly ordinances. Notice what verse 20 says. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, Why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines, notice, of men. Of men. It's of men. Worship is not that. There's nothing scriptural about these ordinances. Nothing. Verse 22 makes it plain. They're the commandments of men. They're the doctrines of men. It, once again, it's the mind of man and not the mind of God. We're talking about the mind of God. Hey, there's some things. There are some things in the Bible we are to touch not, taste not, and handle not. And they're given to us in the Word of God. They're right. They're scriptural. But it's amazing how men have a way of adding to the Bible. They add their own superstitions. They add their own prohibitions of the flesh. Don't eat meat. Don't eat meat. Hey, put ashes in the middle of your forehead. Give up something for Lent. I don't know how I missed it, but I'd never heard of Lent till I moved. Well, I won't say that. Somebody think I'm being disrespectful. I'd never heard of this time period known as Lent until I was in the eighth grade at Meacham Middle School or Junior High. And I had a friend, and there was a friend there in school, and we were in class together, and every day we had a ritual we observed. Now, it wasn't worship, all right? It was a ritual we observed, and that ritual was we'd have our lunch, and then we would grab us a fudgesicle, because that will top off any lunch, okay? And so we'd get us a fudgesicle and eat it. And so here we are. We was used to doing that, been doing that for days and days, weeks. And I go in there and I go by and get my fudgesicle. He didn't get his. And I said, hey, what's wrong? You need me to float you a loan or something? Not that I had a lot of money. I didn't. But, and he said, well, I gave it up for Lent. And that was what I said. Huh? I have any idea. I said, what do you mean you gave it up for Lent? All right. Hey, what is all of that? That's traditions of men. That's rudiments of men. Touch not, taste not, handle not. It's just rudiments of men. It's ordinances men come up with as if, hey, I look at it kind of this way. If you'll do something like that, it'll make you feel good. Make you feel good. It's an exercise of the flesh. Hey, but wait, that's the last point. Look at verse 22, or verse 23. Which things have indeed, notice, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship, not God worship, and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Hey, what's it all about? It's all about flesh. All such rules of man are about an outward pomp without any inward purity. I never knew this either. All of Mardi Gras is open sin, pedal to the metal, living in the flesh, ungodliness, indulging the flesh until what, Fat Tuesday, I think it is, and then we give it up for Lent. Now, we've lived like the devil. Sin just open and rampant, and then all of a sudden we get religious. We get religious. Hey, all of that is outward show. There's nothing happening on the inside. It is all for show. It's all that. It's done to do this to impress men. That somebody has just a eensy bit of spirituality about. I'm going to tell you, that crowd has no spirituality. They have no spirituality. Instead, it is an open season for sin. It is will worship. It's I'll do what I want to do, but I can make myself look good when I get through. Hey, that kind of worship, I just want to tell you, that kind of worship is polluting the church today. is polluting the church today. You said, how do you figure that? One evidence is the predominance of so-called contemporary Christian music, which is really just rock music. All right? Now, what happened? Well, hey, we can get you in and make you feel good. We can get you in and make you feel good. And man, I like that. I like that music. Boy, that really speaks to me. And it does. Speaks to your flesh. Speaks to the flesh. And you say, well, I like that. Okay, of course you do. Because you've got an old, wicked, fleshy body that hasn't been changed and it still likes to sin. So, yeah, it still likes that kind of stuff. Wonderful. Yeah, it does. But not only that, preaching has taken a back seat to teaching that simply uses and instructs folks on how to use principles of spirituality without the power. But it comes across with principles from the Bible. Hey, I've said this before. If you'd take the Bible principles of how to live and observe them and do that, you would have a whole lot better life. Now, if that's all you ever did, you'd die and go to hell, but you would have a better life here. You would be more successful. You would be more happy, all right? And I believe with all my heart, that's what's going on. People don't want preaching anymore. I don't want you telling me what to do. I don't want you there yelling at me. I don't want you pointing out my sin. I don't want that kind of thing. I want to be able to do, hey, I want to be able to make decisions without any Holy Spirit conviction. I don't want that, all right? That's it. Why? Well, I got a head knowledge, but the old heart's never been changed. The old heart's never been changed. Listen, I believe with all my heart that's exactly what the Apostle Paul's warning us against allowing to happen in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, and 23. He's warning us about exactly what's happening in our world today. I mean, we see it exchanged. You go into a church and you don't hear the preaching of the Word of God. Now, a fella gets up there, but he's non-threatening. He's totally non-threatening. In most of the cases, you know, we've shucked the coat, the tie, the dress clothes. We wear blue jeans, have a shirt tail hanging out. And we just talk to people. There's no authority. There's no thus saith the Lord. You don't have that kind of thing. And so therefore what you have is very weak people. If people do get saved, they're fed such a weak diet, they never get any strength, spiritual strength built up whatsoever. You're not challenged to rise above that old man and keep him down. Instead, it's entertain him, all right? Hey, look, folks, God called us to something different than that. God called us to worship him, all right? God called us to worship him. God's told us it's to be in spirit and in truth. It's not to be in an exercise of the flesh. Hey, we don't have to worship somebody else or something else. We don't have to pray through anybody. We can go directly to our Savior. We can go directly to God. We can pray directly to him. And that's not, you know, exercising any lack of humility. No, it's being obedient to the Word of God. And we live in a time, though, where we're being drawn aside. We're being beguiled. That's what's going on. That's why, hey, I'll be honest with you, it's a lot easier to get people to go to an entertainment center than it is to come to an old-fashioned Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church. Now, I'm not saying that to say don't keep trying. We're to go after people. We're to go after them with everything we can, all right? But, hey, I'm not trying to, if I preach to you and teach you, I'm not trying to reach your head, I'm trying to get to your heart. Because it's out of the heart, okay? That's where man is changed. When God changes the heart, that's where man is changed. God help us to keep our worship centered upon the Lord Jesus Christ, with no emphasis, no appeal to make the flesh feel good. We're not here to make the flesh feel good. Hey, you know what? If you come in those doors back there and you sit down and the Word of God is preached, if you're not doing right, you shouldn't feel good about yourself. You shouldn't feel good about yourself. Things are such nowadays that a hitman for the mafia could go to a lot of these churches and never be convicted about anything, because there's no Bible preached to him. Nothing to bring conviction. Well, I'm glad that I heard an old-fashioned Sunday school teacher teach me the Word of God. I'm glad I had a dad who was an old-fashioned preacher of the Bible. And I was looking back, there was a picture put on Facebook yesterday or the day, I forget which day I saw it, of an old-timey preacher that I remember preaching to me when I was a kid. And man, I thought, what a blessing to have to know somebody preach the truth to me. What a good thing. And boy, we live in a time where, though, there is that danger that you can be beguiled. You can be beguiled. Don't let that happen to you, all right? Don't let that happen to you. Realize that our worship is set. God specified how to do things. We're not to let some man come in and draw us aside. We're not to let some man manufacture doctrines come along and get us away from the truth of the Word of God. Let's stick with the book. Heavenly Father, help us now. Help us to be faithful, to stick with the Word of God. Lord, to be faithful to you, to serve you, to love you, and to walk with you. And Lord, give us